Thank you.
It's on. Okay, great. Thank you. And apologies, I'm losing my voice a bit. And thanks so much to the panelists and to UNHCR for hosting us here today. It's really an honor to be here at this first ever historic Global Refugee Forum. When Sherry and I announced our partnership at the World Humanitarian Summit now almost 4 years ago, I don't think we ever imagined that early childhood development and commitments to early childhood development would grow so significantly over the past few years. And it's really thanks to so many of the supporters here, Bernard Van Leer Foundation, the MacArthur Foundation that Sherry mentioned, and the LEGO Foundation's vision for investing in this space. It's truly remarkable what's happened in such a short period of time. So to answer the question, why early childhood development for the International Rescue Committee, we've been pushing for ECD to be a part of all of our humanitarian response because it's quite simple. It's really what we've been hearing from our clients, primarily from parents. Parents in the middle of a crisis, they don't think about sectors. They don't think about the traditional kinds of silos that we talk about often in a humanitarian response. They think of themselves as parents, and they want to take care of their children. They want to be able to ensure their safety. They want to make sure that they're happy and healthy, that they're learning, and that they're being set up for a future that will be better than theirs. So often, the parents we talk to in these settings feel as though their lives have been completely shattered and upended by crisis, and they want something different for their children. So they see them as this one glimmer of hope, and they ask for our help. Often, parents are stressed. They're under a great deal of pressure, and they very much want support. And it just also happens that the kinds of things the parents are asking for is backed up by research and all of the economic returns and social returns that we heard talked about. I'll talk a little bit about what are we doing to support these families and children. And I'll focus specifically on AHLAN, the program that Sherry mentioned in the Middle East, although we're very fortunate to be starting a new program with LEGO in East Africa and also to be part of the Bangladesh work. So just to give you a sense, AHLAN Tsimshian, as Sherry mentioned, is operating in four countries, in Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and Lebanon. And with the services that Sherry mentioned, we're aiming to reach 1.5 million children throughout the region over the course of 5 years. And I want to talk about three important characteristics of this program that make it a bit unique. First, it is about this point that both Keiko and Cecilia mentioned about holistic programming integrating into a wide range of services. So what we're doing is using this evidence-based content and the powerful Muppets and content that Sesame is creating and weaving that content into a whole host of different kinds of services, from women's centers in a protection program to health clinics in a health program to preschools in an education program. Second point is that these approaches are quite adaptable. So what we know from implementing emergency programs is you have to be agile and you have to be able to adjust content and approaches for a wide variety of needs. So what we've done is we've created approaches that can be very low intensity. They can be inserted into a waiting room in a health center or into at a low intensity model, or they're very high intensity. They can be used for a preschool program run by governments for a curriculum that's being used every day for children. And lastly, the approach is unique, as Sherry mentioned, because it focuses on both adults and children. We know that adults in children's lives are essential for their current outcomes, their current well-being, as well as their future and later life outcomes. So we're using this content to equip these adults in their lives, often their parents and caregivers, also their teachers, with the skills and the support that they need to nurture their children, to keep them safe, and as John talked about, to use play as a very powerful means to promote learning in classrooms and in homes. So all this work, as you all know, is going on in the most extraordinary circumstances. And I'll just close with a story I heard recently from some of my child protection colleagues who are working in Northeast Syria right now. They run our home visiting programs. And during the recent Turkish offensive, the families they were working with had to flee their homes, and they were moved into empty schools. There were about 50 of these schools that had been turned into shelters where these families are now living. So they're not functioning as schools, but they're really places where these families are now housed. And we heard from our staff that the children in the shelters were just sitting, waiting, watching their parents struggle, not knowing what was going to come next. And my colleagues decided that they had to go back to work. They had to help these families. And the very first ones to return to work after we had put a hold on the programs because of insecurity were the home visitors. And these home visitors went into the shelters to help these parents and kids. They played with them, they did activities with the kids, they ran group sessions with the parents to talk about what they were going through. And we asked them, you know, how did you do this in the middle of a crisis? And they said, how could we not do it? They really felt as though they had no other choice, and as parents, it was what they knew was needed most. I think I'll just end to put a fine point on this. This, for me, is quite remarkable, not only because of their bravery and courage, but also because it represents a shift in the way humanitarian workers are focusing on young children. These are often humanitarian workers don't do this kind of thing in a middle of a crisis. And these child protection staff are showing the world what can be done, even in the middle of a crisis. That early childhood development, it can't wait for later. It has to happen right now.